It's Tuesday, November 17th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to break the news that we have four new contributors to help bring you the Daily Audio Stash. In response to my call for volunteer music editors, I received a lot of applications and picked from the best of them to give you our new lineup. In charge of Roots Monday, where you'll hear blues, country, folk, and jazz, Cannabis Carrie, our good friend, will be providing those tunes. For Electric Tuesday, dance, new age, house, and electronica, Sarah Kant from Boston, Massachusetts will be handling those activities. Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music, will be handled by Johnny Reeferseed. Groovin' Thursday's rap, hip-hop, R&B, and funk will be covered by John Doe. And for Rockin' Friday's rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, yours truly, Radical Russ, will be handling that. These fine stashers will be finding the best 420-friendly music on the web and bringing it to us each week. We'll also have links to their websites so that you can visit them and support them in exchange for the hard work they're putting up here on the Daily Audio Stash. Also join me in welcoming Amanda Bannon to our lineup of contributors. She's getting college credit as an intern working for me in Normal Chapter Outreach. She will begin by reviving our dormant Politicians on Pot series, where you send us the replies you get from your elected officials when you write to them about ending marijuana prohibition. If you haven't written to your elected officials, visit Normal's Take Action Center and get started. Now that the AMA has reversed its position on smoked cannabis as medicine, many of these congresspeople will need to update their form letter. So write to your congressperson, and when they reply, send that reply back to us at stash@normal.org. Also want to let you know that we're getting plenty more coverage of the Oregon Normal Cannabis Cafe here in Portland, Oregon. Madeline Martinez was interviewing today with the Associated Press, and the Times of London sent someone to her home for an interview as well. And she completed an interview with Al Jazeera, the Arabic television network. So this is getting a lot of play worldwide. Look for that Associated Press report in your local newspaper coming soon. And the Drug Enforcement Administration is still lying about the American Medical Association's position on smoked cannabis. The DEA has not updated its website since the AMA reversed its position and called for cannabis to be moved out of Schedule 1 and studied, and supported the use of smoked cannabis for medicine. Our friends at Law Enforcement Against Prohibition have an action alert out on it, and visit our blog at stash.normal.org for the link so you can call on the DEA to change their statement to reflect the American Medical Association's true position. Now, coming up on your Daily Audio Stash today, we're going to begin with your cannabis community calendar and then a look at our hemp headlines, including Los Angeles City Council's rejection of a ban on medical marijuana dispensaries. A study out of Canada that shows the relatively small cost of cannabis use to society, and a look at Big Pharma's Merck and two of their drugs that have been shown to be no more useful than vitamins. For our Daily Toker tunes today, it's Electric Tuesday, and Sarah Kant brings us this tune from a band called Sunburn in Cyprus, a little ambient track called Reefer Slackness. And for our interview segment today, it's time for our podcast within a podcast, the California Marijuana Report with Eric Brenner. He'll be bringing us an interview with Wayne Justman, a dispensary owner in West Hollywood, California. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Roll me something fat and long, pack me a bowl, or fill me a bong. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care.
It's 420 somewhere.
It's time for your cannabis community calendar, available online at normal.org/calendar. To get your events added to the calendar, send me an email with the subject calendar request to stash@normal.org. For our calendar today, we want to start with advance notice of a hearing in Pennsylvania for medical marijuana on HB 1393, the Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act. This will be scheduled in Harrisburg on December 2nd, 2009, and the first public hearings ever on medical cannabis in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. For more information, check out phillynormal.org or Pennsylvanians for Medical Marijuana. On Wednesday, November 18th, Oberlin College Normal will be hosting a marijuana policy panel and discussion in the Science Center West Lecture Hall. There is also on Wednesday a Simply Stupid concert at the House of Blues in Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland Normal will be tabling at the event. And on Wednesday, Benzie County Normal will be having their monthly meeting. Check them out at 1136 Michigan Avenue in Benzonia, Michigan. On Thursday, November 19th, Philly Normal holds their open meeting at the A-Space on 4722 Baltimore Avenue. There will be a weekly meeting with Cher Neufer, the founder of North Ohio Normal, on Thursday. On Friday, November 20th, Philly Normal will be appearing on the 420 Punk Show. And on Saturday, November 21st, Normal Show Live goes on the air at live.normal.org, live from Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe in Portland, Oregon. Finally, on Sunday, November 22nd, there's a medical cannabis dispensary law workshop with 5 CLE credits available at the Sheraton Los Angeles Downtown Hotel in Los Angeles, California. For more information on that, check out cuminsummers.com. That's cuminsummers.com. And to get all of the links, contacts, maps, websites, emails, phone numbers, and more for all of these events, check out normal.org/calendar.
It's a normal shout out.
Our shout out yesterday went to the people in the N states of Nebraska, Nevada, New Mexico, and New Hampshire. There's one N state I left out of that list that I'd like to add for today's shout out, the state of North Dakota. We don't have any normal chapters up in North Dakota, and I would like so much to bring Normal's message to the Northern Plains. So if you're in North Dakota, send me an email at stash@normal.org. I'll add you to the list of other North Dakotans, and perhaps we can get together and form a chapter.
Well, I smoked some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike, didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform, should have gone to the web and typed in Norm. Norm to the L.org, normal drop the A.org, baby.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Los Angeles committees reject ban on dispensaries. From the Snitch. Ignoring the advice of anti-pot city attorney Carmen Trutnich, two Los Angeles City Council committees yesterday rejected a proposed ban on sales of medical marijuana. Anti-pot zealots within LA city government had coordinated an 18-month assault on the dispensaries, with headline-grabbing pronouncements from media hogs Trutnich and Los Angeles District Attorney Steve Cooley dominating coverage of the issue in recent weeks. Both Trutnich and Cooley have been widely quoted in the press as claiming that most of the dispensaries are operating in violation of state law. Cooley's recent declaration that, quote, approximately zero, end quote, of the dispensaries were operating legally sent chills and outrage through the medical marijuana community, seeming to echo San Diego District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis' statement that there are, quote, no such things, end quote, as legal dispensaries. Council members on both committees wrestled with the idea of ignoring the opinion of the city's top prosecutor. But after 4 hours of a contentious and heated hearing, council members had heard more than enough. A crowd of about 400 people filled the main council chamber for the hearing, with the proceedings often becoming raucous. Most of the speakers were medical marijuana supporters, along with a sprinkling of community activists and conservatives who supported the ban. Marijuana supporters argued that dispensaries should be regulated, not banned, with a reduction in the number of shops and a crackdown on operations that become a public nuisance. You cannot stuff this genie back into the bottle, Mr. City Attorney and Mr. District Attorney. The people of Los Angeles like their clean, reliable, diverse selections of cannabis and aren't going back to hiding in the shadows and purchasing on a black market. The economy has grown accustomed to the sales taxes and foot traffic the dispensaries generate. Technically legal or not, the dispensaries exist, the people are using them, and they are in many cases improving the neighborhoods where they reside. Instead of tilting at windmills because they don't personally like cannabis and its users, the city and the county should work with medical marijuana activists to come up with sensible regulations that everybody can live with. But legalizing marijuana will cost society more than it earns in taxes. Debunked. In the face of growing calls to tax and regulate marijuana, the prohibitionists are left with few tools in their rhetorical arsenal. One talking point they've trotted out lately goes something like this. Why not tax pot and alleviate the financial burden of our cities and states? We tax alcohol sales, and it earns billions. Quote, the latest studies show that the U.S. collects about $8 billion yearly in taxes from alcohol, end quote. However, this is not the end of the story. Quote, the problem is, the total cost to the U.S. in 2008 due to alcohol-related problems was $185 billion, and the government pays about 38% of that cost, about $72 billion, all due to consequences of alcohol consumption, according to the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, end quote. In other words, if we legalized marijuana, the damage caused by all the rampant stoners would cost us more than the pot taxes would bring in. Of course, the argument is silly on its face. Alcohol use causes serious health problems, violence, and auto wrecks, so it naturally costs society more than it brings in. Cannabis use is relatively safe, and as I've argued before, 22 million of us are using it now. So if there is any social cost, why not at least bring in some tax revenue instead of none? So today I was very happy to see Paul Armentano's latest piece on the Normal blog regarding a Canadian study of social costs of cannabis versus alcohol and tobacco, which concluded, in terms of cost per user, tobacco-related health costs are over $800 per user. Alcohol-related health costs are much lower at $165 per user, and cannabis-related health costs are the lowest at $20 per user. On the enforcement side, costs for cannabis are the highest at $328 per user, 94% of social costs for cannabis are linked to enforcement. Enforcement costs per user for alcohol are about half those for cannabis, $153, while enforcement costs for tobacco are very low. Now, that's Canada, so our U.S. numbers may vary a bit, especially when we're talking about healthcare costs. But in the title of his post, Paul asked me to do the math. So, here it is. Prohibited cannabis's total cost to society, assuming 22 million annual users times $20 in health costs, plus 22 million annual users times $328 in enforcement costs, equals about $7.6 billion. Now, when cannabis is re-legalized, that doesn't mean that the $328 per user enforcement costs go completely away. I don't think they'd be as high as alcohol, but definitely not as low as tobacco. Let's split the difference and say it ends up costing $75 per user in cannabis enforcement costs. By those figures, the low estimate we'll call it, it would be about $2 billion per year cost to society. Now, let's also imagine that cannabis enforcement does cost as much as alcohol, unreasonable as that may sound. That high estimate would be about $3.8 billion. So for David H. Kerr and all the other prohibitionist theory about legal cannabis costing society more than prohibited cannabis, there has to be enough increase in use and users to make up between $5.6 and $3.8 billion in cost. In the low estimate, a cannabis user costs society $95. In the high estimate, $173. So between 22 and 58 million more people would have to smoke cannabis in the U.S. at rates comparable to the current usage rates for legal cannabis to cost as much as what we spend on prohibiting it. That means a 100% to 263% increase in the annual user population, or about 44 to 80 million annual users, or between 18% and 32% of all U.S. adults. Now, currently, only about 9% of U.S. adults use cannabis annually. So, imagine a room with 25 adults in it. Right now, about 2 of those adults will smoke pot this year. Under re-legalization, about 2 to 6 more would have to start smoking pot for the total cost to society to break even. Then we'd have to consider what happens under a substitution effect. That is, would alcohol and tobacco users lower their use of those substances if they have the choice of legal cannabis? The alcohol user costs us $318 per year, and the tobacco user costs us $800 per year. Under the low estimate, 3 drinkers are worth close to 10 tokers, and 2 smokers are worth close to 17 tokers. Under the high estimate, the ratios are about 1 to 2 and 2 to 9, respectively. So, if just 1% of the 162.5 million annual drinkers and 1% of the 70 million annual smokers quit and took up cannabis instead, that's a savings of over $1 billion in health and enforcement costs. Or, another 3.9 to 10 million new tokers we could afford over the 2.3 million new ex-smoker drinker tokers we've added. In other words, in order for legal cannabis to cost society more than illegal cannabis, a whole hell of a lot more people will have to be smoking it. And that's even under the grossly inflated estimates of legal marijuana's enforcement costs.
Merck's $4.56 billion anti-cholesterol drugs no better than a cheap B vitamin. From the AARP Bulletin. A widely prescribed and expensive cholesterol drug is not as effective as niacin, a cheap vitamin, in helping to unclog coronary arteries in people already taking statins, the standard medicines used to lower cholesterol, according to a new study. The research, which appears Monday in the New England Journal of Medicine, is sending rumbles through the medical community because it is the third recent study to raise questions about the effectiveness of Zetia and its sister drug Vytorin, highly profitable pharmaceuticals made by Merck & Company. Introduced in 2002 and 2004 amid heavy direct-to-consumer marketing, Zetia and Vytorin became blockbusters for Merck and Schering-Plough, which had collaborated on their development. The companies recently merged. Last year, a study released by Merck showed that Zetia did not reduce plaque in arteries compared with patients taking only statins, which are much less expensive and available in generic form. Although released in January, the study had been completed in 2006, prompting a class-action lawsuit alleging that Merck intentionally withheld unfavorable results of a clinical trial. The company paid $41.5 million in August to settle the claims. Another study published last year showed a potential increase in cancer among patients taking Zetia and Vytorin compared with those taking only statins. So, what does this have to do with medical marijuana? Everything. Understand that these same profit-making megacorporations of Big Pharma are desperately trying to create cannabinoid medicines that can't be grown in your backyard or closet. While we rejoice that the AMA reversed its position and urged the rescheduling of cannabis, keep your mind focused on why they might have done that. Is it the pure altruism of realizing a mistake and returning to a rational scientific approach to cannabis, moderated by compassion for suffering people and the benefit herbal cannabis would provide? Or is it the realization that the people are crusading for legal marijuana and succeeding? And if herbal cannabis becomes truly legal, their friends in the pharmaceutical industry lose all the profits off of cannabinoid pills, sprays, and inhalers to the ultimate, less expensive generic. Remember that drug companies only make money if you take drugs. If you're not sick, you don't take drugs. So they need to keep finding new drugs to push on you for new ailments you never knew you had. If you go about relieving your unhealthful stress with a joint after a long day, you're not going to get those stress-related diseases for which you'll need a lifelong regimen of drugs. Beware the medicalization of marijuana. I can foresee a ruling where herbal cannabis is placed in Schedule 2, so research is then allowed to take place. At Schedule 2, your doctor could prescribe it to you, but since Schedule 2 drugs are tightly controlled, no refills, for instance, perhaps he won't. Meanwhile, Big Pharma identifies and synthesizes the medically effective compounds in cannabis, taking out that pesky high, of course, and these expensive drugs are packaged and mega-hyped on TV. These drugs are placed like Marinol at Schedule 3 or lower. With effective alternatives to herbal cannabis found, and lobbying pressure from Big Pharma looking to protect their investments, states have no reason to begin or to continue their medical cannabis programs. Next thing you know, the medical marijuana era is a relic of the history books. Crude marijuana is rejected, and those who grow it are busted just like now. Remember, possession and manufacture of an unauthorized Schedule 2 substance can get you in as much trouble as Schedule 1.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica.
If you'd like to submit your song to be played on the Daily Audio Stash, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Reefer Slackness is the perfect ambient chill-out tune for, well, sitting around and smoking up. Originally a studio remix project founded in 1998, Göttingen, Germany's Sunburn in Cyprus used a revolving membership to create music outside of their usual work. Now typically a five-piece, they have a fluid lineup of guests and collaborators with buzz building thanks to publicity via British and Italian compilations, as well as movie soundtracks in America and Europe, plus a heavy schedule of touring and festivals in Germany for the past 4 years and shows booked into 2010. Genre-busting but heavy on the electronica, the original songs and the remixes are certainly heady. This track, with its Middle Eastern dub and house influences, will get you in the mood for doing nothing at all. Copious downloads and details on the band are available on their website at www.sunburnincyprus.de for getting down on the dance floor or relaxing with the implement of your choice at home. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Sunburn in Cyprus with Reefer Slackness.
Thank you. I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Every Tuesday, we bring you a podcast within a podcast dedicated exclusively to the ground zero of marijuana reform in America, California. We turn over the daily audio stash to your Golden State host, Eric Brenner, and the California Marijuana Report.
California Marijuana Report for the week of November 16, 2009. I'm Eric Brenner. This week, trouble in the Southland. Los Angeles marijuana users under attack by an out-of-control district attorney who vows to step up prosecutions of dispensaries. We speak with Wayne Justman, co-owner of a cannabis collective in West Hollywood, and a rare track from Curtis Mayfield for our California Marijuana Music segment, only on the California Marijuana Report. And we continue to follow this developing story out of Los Angeles. The LA Times is reporting at this hour, high noon on Tuesday, November 17th. District attorney will prosecute medical marijuana dispensaries even if Los Angeles does not ban the sales. This is an updated report from the Los Angeles Times as of 12 noon. District Attorney Steve Cooley said today he will prosecute dispensaries that sell medical marijuana even if the Los Angeles City Council adopts an ordinance that does not ban such sales. Now, on Monday, two council committees rejected the city attorney's advice and changed a provision in the proposed ordinance allowing cash transactions as long as they comply with state law. Quote, this is not about Cooley versus Reyes or Cooley versus the council. This is about the quality of life. We all have better things to do than this legal jousting, Councilman Ed Reyes was quoted as saying in today's Los Angeles Times. Reyes also added, the law is not clear on this issue, and, quote, we'll let the courts decide. We are trying our best to work with a system that is very vague at this moment. Now, this brave councilman, Ed Reyes, also added that District Attorney Steve Cooley spoke recently at a training session for narcotics officers focused on eradicating dispensaries. Quote, we're here to serve the people, not to serve each other's political agenda. It makes no sense to play political football with people's lives. Well, you can only say so much about the brave men and women who really do take public service seriously, such as L.A. City Councilman Ed Reyes, this disgraceful district attorney, Steve Cooley, who really should be indicted and jailed for violating state law. Proposition 215 makes it very clear that collectives can sell marijuana. To talk about this and other issues in California here, we speak with one of the first people really in the country to receive a state issued medical marijuana card. Wayne Justman. Wayne, you also own a cannabis collective in West Hollywood. First, thanks for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report. Tell me what you think about District Attorney Steve Cooley at this time.
He's one of these guys that think these places are just illegal drug stores, and they want to do something about it. The neighborhoods are so vast down there, I don't see people marching to City Hall to protest the fact that we have these things in there. Now, some neighborhoods, give you an example, Melrose Boulevard from La Cienega to La Brea, I think, maybe a year or so ago, they may have had a half a dozen of them, and now they may have 30 of them in that particular area. I think that's what's happening. Some neighborhoods are being overrun with some of these, and then you've got some in the San Fernando Valley.
Wayne, do the dispensaries in Los Angeles County have a case to stay open, even with Cooley's crackdown?
Facilities in Los Angeles that went through a permitting and a recognition process before the moratorium was put in 2007. I think those 186 facilities in Los Angeles and in Los Angeles County have a pretty good argument, all right? They did everything that the city wanted them to do up to that time, and then the moratorium came in. Where the problem came, Eric, is when these other people just came in and came in and came in and came in. We saw that up here, Eric, in 2004. If they can't go to these dispensaries, no matter what law enforcement feels about that, well, then where can they go? And they want to make sure that the facilities that they go to treat them well while they're in there, and then also to provide them a product which they're going to find acceptable and address the issues for which they're using the cannabis. That's how you judge as a patient where you want to go. No different than a person that wants to look for a suit. Do they go to Saks, Bloomingdale's, Macy's? How you're treated? Are you comfortable while you're there? What's the product like? And I think that the patients have to realize these things. And also, too, Eric, the pressure from law enforcement, you and I have been feeling that in the early 90s when we didn't have 215 to go against. So I the average patient, they may know the pressure on it, but they're not affected by it because it's like a restaurant that closes at the corner. Well, they had a meal in there from time to time, but it doesn't really affect them because they'll go somewhere else. And I have yet to hear what they're going to do. Are they going to send the property owner a letter stating, well, the federal government tried to do that. Are they going to send out agents to say you have a cease and desist order of 72 hours? Eric, I haven't seen them say how they're going to do this.
Tell me, what do you think of President Obama's new medical marijuana policy?
Well, I think he's very weak. You know, he's saying things, but Drug Enforcement Administration, they're still bothering cultivators. They're still investigating medical cannabis patients, medical cannabis dispensaries. The Drug Enforcement Administration is still working. Two U.S. attorneys in the Northern District and Southern District of California, they're still very, very active. I think right now it's nice words, but it's been meaningless until our Congress addresses either the decriminalization or the legalization of cannabis. I enjoyed what he said, but that's all bark. Where the hell is the bite?
Wayne Justman, tell me the name of your cannabis collective in West Hollywood. And go ahead.
Alternative Herbal Health Services at 7828 Santa Monica Boulevard. That is near Fairfax. The telephone number down there for that facility is 323-654-8792.
And that is great news from Wayne Justman, who was really the first person in California to receive a Proposition 215 card. Wayne Justman, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
Eric, my pleasure. You have a good one, friend.
And we're following a developing story here on the California Marijuana Report. Medical marijuana prisoner of war Will Foster may soon be a free man, according to his longtime partner Grace Foster, who posted this on Facebook. Will's freedom depends on Governor Brad Henry's final decision, which will be in the next week or two. I urge everyone to please call and fax letters to Governor Henry for Will Foster's document number 252721, prompt release before the holidays. Call 1-405-521-2342. Fax 1-405-521-3353. Please ask that he be given time served and set him free. Facebook. I'm Eric Brenner for the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you today with the reminder that we'll be visiting with Dr. Mitch Earlywine tomorrow in our Cannabis Science segment. We'll be talking about cannabis and stress. and a little bit about the history of medical marijuana. And if you have any questions that you'd like to have answered by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, you can always send them in to 420research@gmail.com or send them to me here at stash@normal.org, and we'll make them a part of the show. Also, don't forget this Saturday, Normal Show Live comes to you direct from Oregon Normal's world-famous Cannabis Cafe. We fixed the technical difficulties, and we should have a great show coming up 2 hours live from Oregon's first ever Cannabis Cafe. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.